ProFlowRadio.com.
Yeah.
ProFlowRadio.com. Internet Inferno. On demand and live pro in the audio.
You are now tuned into the ProFlow for Show Show. Internationally syndicated. Act like you know. With your host, Mr. Mad Max. ProFlow for Show. www.maxi.com. ProFlow for Show Show. Wireless phone interview feature presentation. ProFlow for Show Show. ProFlow for Show Show. ProFlow for Show Show.
Check this out.
Ah, you funny, bro. So I'm speaking with D Nut, comedian D Nut. Man, I gotta get it right. Now, D Nut, Darius, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now now most people would know you from the past when you was definitely just nothing but music. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you just introduce yourself to history anyway, just briefly? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm D Nut. Now I'm the comedian D Nut. Formerly known as just D-Nut from the Headshots and Willie's, and those are my two prior groups I had, and that's the
right.
Beginning, man. That's how I started off.
Yeah, let me ask you about the beginning, man, real quick. You know, the Headshots and Big Willie's was very influential with the Akron area, as well as California,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
pretty much
the
United States, you know what I'm saying? Y'all was getting around Atlanta, all kinds of stuff. So, but that was before people in Akron really was, like, hip to be a musician, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all kind of pioneered it for Pacino's
right.
And everybody
exactly.
else. So,
right, man.
Don't you, tell me, like, how you got started with the music thing. Like, how did you get started with music?
Actually, you know what? I used to always had a thing about rapping. I was just telling shows during Akron Youth Summer Camp, you know what I'm saying? I always go rap since just wanted to perform. I remember being on stage back in summer camp and stuff, and then that led into high school, and all I did in high school was wrote raps. And actually, me and Pacino and Pony J and Felony One, all those cats, we used to all hang out in my apartment, or my grandma's house, and all rap, just, you know, every day after school and stuff. And then everybody, you know, broke off into their own individual groups and stuff, and that's when we became the Headshots. We branched off from just being a big-ass conglomeration called 411. And then we became the Headshots, you know, Al Pacino became him, Felony One, thing, solo thing and stuff, and that's how I started off for real. Then, you know, we ended up drifting off to California on some humbug stuff and ran into Rafael Sadiq. And he wanted to sign us to his label, which was Interscope Records.
Boy.
Interscope. And so, you know, of course, we bid on that. Young, Dark, you know what I'm saying? We bid on that deal. And that kind of just, like, really broke it wide open. You know what I'm saying? It made it real. It made everybody in the city believe that this music thing is real. You know what I'm saying? It made everybody want to be rappers and start labels. And, I mean, that's, like, really when it exploded, for real.
For real, man. I remember watching it all go down. To a certain extent, I wasn't familiar with all the individuals that were doing it, but I remember when I heard you on the radio, you know what I'm saying? I had just got into a situation where, you know, it was like crazy to hear a dude like me in that kind of, you know, that spotlight. So it kind of inspired
right,
me to get
right,
where
right.
I'm at today, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Exactly. I'm glad it did, because, you know, in your situation, you know, you handle these things so smooth.
Man, I'm trying to, but you know, y'all taught me how to do this, so. Y'all taught me how to do this, man, so like, you didn't do something like where, you didn't flip the whole game upside down, like, cause like, you're a comedian now, so to me, that's like, that's almost an impossible thing to do, cause, not everybody is funny, and not everybody is more confident when you get up on stage and make people laugh, you know?
Confidence is a lot, man, when you're a comedian, man. Confidence is a big key to it.
Man, so tell me, like, how did the comedian thing get started, and what made you want to do that, like, and then what gave you the ability to do that, you know?
It's funny, you know what, because after the Headshot project went downhill, I moved back to California to Akron. That's when I got with Hurt, DeJuan, you know, now.
Right.
I got with him, you know what I'm saying, he's another person in our situation, wheelchair,
right.
And we formed the group Big Willie's. And you know, that was phenomenal. That was like,
what
that
is
was
though?
Almost, that was going to make history right there.
It did, though.
I felt that project was bigger than the Headshot project. Even without the nation, even without the deal and everything, I still felt that would have went and did more numbers. But, you know, he had issues in his life where he felt he had to correct. So he got saved.
Yeah.
Became a preacher. Left me out to, you know, left me out to do my own thing again.
So I
attempted a solo career. But, you know, my heart wasn't in it no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was stuck in Akron. And it's just, you know, that's when I met you. You was helping me do my solo project, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I fell through, though.
Hey, you helped me out a lot. It's just like, whatever you want, come through. When I came through, we played about 5, 6, 7 amazing songs. And
I remember doing that, too, man. But I don't remember being able to finish it for you, either. I don't remember being able to finish that. So,
I ain't had to drive like I used to when I had the groups. I felt like, but still, when I was by myself.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, I know it was hard.
I felt like it let me down when I was by myself. I felt like when I became a solo after all what I went through, I felt like everybody should have came, like, you know, we got you. But it was actually the opposite way around. It was like, you know,
it transferred like at all.
We too busy now. You know, forget what you done for us. We just too busy trying to become our own person. So I just came down to Columbus.
Sound like a good idea. That's what I'm looking for right now myself, honestly.
Yeah, man. Honestly, you know, Akron is a small spot. A lot of dreamers. And music is one thing that's cool there because it's always going to live. Music always going to live. Right. Everybody got a studio. Right. But comedy was something that I would have never made happen in Akron.
Man, no, because people don't know how to keep it real here. Yeah, they get real offended.
It's too small. It's like, I came down here just on some, like I say, humbug. Always talking junk. You know, me, I always talk. I'm silly. I always talk. And that's my comedy. But to other people, it's comedy like, you know, comedy. To me, it's natural.
Right.
To the people around me, it's comedy. And I was at my cousin's barbershop down here just talking to him and he was cutting the guy's hair. And the dude was from Atlanta whose hair he was cutting. And I had him cracking up so bad, he stopped and said, "Now listen, man, you know, you need to do comedy. Like, you know, I'm really dying in Atlanta. I heard this cat, and you hilarious. You need to do it." I'm like, whatever, you know, you're the person that told me that. And I had heard Steve Harvey say one day, "Just because you're funny in front of your fans don't mean you're funny in front of a bunch of strangers." And that kind of discouraged me from trying comedy. But then I just was like, what the hell? I ain't doing nothing else, you know what I'm saying?
Why not?
And I found the open mic spot. And I ended up going there for the first time, open mic. And I got the mic and I just told a couple jokes. I don't even really remember what I said, you know, stuff about my chair, you know, just something silly. And when I got done, the host was like, you know, "How long you been doing comedy?" And I'm like, "Tonight, my first night." And they just couldn't believe that I was just tonight was my first night.
Wow.
Everybody thought I had been doing it for a while. And I liked it. I liked the feedback. And I just stuck to it. And week after week after week, I dedicated myself to it. And I done exposed myself. I done actually, doing the comedy, I done been in front of a bigger crowd. And the biggest crowd I've been in my life. You know, even bigger than the music.
Right.
And, another funny thing I learned about the comedy is, it's like, you know, rap carry like a fear and a caution to grown folks, you know what I'm saying? Nobody wanted to follow rap because of the negative vibe it carries. We had some big shelter downtown, and I couldn't get my family to come see me.
They like, it's too dirty.
I started doing comedy. I started doing comedy all the way in Columbus. And I do shows on Wednesday nights, which is a work night, school night, you know what I'm saying? And I can get about 10, 15 people to carpool down here to come see one of my shows. And then go back home, go to sleep, and get up and go to work in the next morning. I'm like,
that's
how serious comedy is, man. It's like, it's very easy, man. It's almost like poetry. Or, you know, whatever. It's like rapping without music, for real. like doing our music a cappella.
Man,
you get up there, you spit your game, and it's like, it's a cappella, you know what I'm saying? No beats.
Yeah, it makes
quiet.
Sense.
Everything you say is being heard, you know, word for word, you know? So you get your point across, so it's a good situation for a nigga like me. Because I like to do that motivational speaking, and I like to, you know, we got a story to tell, man. You know, we wearing wheelchairs, and we still doing stuff that
right.
Dudes walking ain't doing, you know what I'm saying? So
you better say it,
we
bro.
We set the tempo for what we do, and it's like we motivate dudes that walk, our real talk.
Totally, 100%, man, 100%. I ain't never really realized until I met you and a couple other people, But like, you know, now I see it for real for what it is, you know what I'm saying? It's the truth.
Yeah, man, it's hey, you know, God gave you to do what you do, and even though they tried to stick us and the devil tried to get us and screw us up, we still was able to, you know what I'm saying, do what we
make
do
with
love, and, you know what I'm saying,
right.
Feel good as hell what you do, so.
Right. So, so when you come up with your comedy content, like the thing that the routine that you do on stage, you know, what do you draw from? Like, what parts of life do you draw from? Because I know it's about life for you, you know. So you keep it real on there. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when I do my shows, it's like I kind of go by the venue. You know what I'm saying? What the crowd
yeah.
like? If it's an adult crowd, you know what I'm saying? You know, I kind of feel Cosby it up a little bit. if it's a young crowd, then you know I can get fire on.
Oh, hell.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? Right. I can just throw it out there at them and stuff.
Yeah.
So I basically touch on true life stories about what happened to me in the chair and stuff. I realize
yeah.
that the audience like that kind of stuff. They find that hilarious.
They never heard of it.
The simple
yeah,
things that I say about me being in a wheelchair. It's like, because, you know, the wheelchair carries a curiosity already.
Yeah.
What can he do? What happened
yeah.
to him? And it's,
right.
it's a level of questions that come behind me in the chair. So I kind of get on stage and get to answer a lot of the questions.
Okay.
So I just base it on what the crowd like and how I'm feeling, you know, have a little
yeah.
bit something to drink, get up there, and, you know. Hey, you know,
that'd
the drunker I get, the more I reveal, you know what I'm saying? I don't
oh,
hold
man,
nothing
I can,
back,
I can
Mike.
Imagine.
I ain't, hey,
I
Mike, imagine. Look, I don't hold nothing back, man. You know, me ain't no shame in my game, man. When I get up there, I tell you all my life story. I ain't kidding because, you know, being in the wheelchair, man, it was all about, you know, it was all about the people that I dealt with that got me the
right.
confidence that I got
yeah.
now. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, ain't no sense in clamming up when it comes to tell my story because
right.
I'm trying to write a book. You know, I'm trying to write a book called The Wheel World.
The Real Wheel World.
Have a nice little chapter in there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Let me know what's up.
Mike Moses,
I got
here, you know, you definitely going to have a chapter in my book. So
if you need that software on the computer that talk for you, you know what I'm saying, let me know, I'll get you that, you know what I'm saying?
I need that, definitely,
yeah.
man. I need that because I do not, you know, man, I cannot
yeah.
write. I can't write,
right.
and I'm not about
to. It ain't easy for nobody, you know what I'm saying?
I can't write, but I definitely got this idea of this book, man. It got to be heard, man. Our word got to be heard, man, Mike, because.
No doubt.
What we do,
no doubt.
Like, it's uplifting, man. It is
uplifting,
you know,
man. I mean, you know, if you think about what you're doing, you know, and how powerful it is, what would you want this to accomplish for other people? Like, when they come to hear you, what you want them to feel? You know what I'm saying?
You know what? When I get off stage, man, as long as I make, you know, my goal is to make, not only to make a person laugh, but I want people to leave with more of a, get the door. Sorry about that. I want people to leave hearing my show with more of an idea about, you know, disabled people, you know, like what we really can do and what level we really are on, you know. Like
right.
I tell women, don't judge the book by its cover, you know, just because I'm in a wheelchair,
yeah.
it don't mean that, you know. You know, whatever you're thinking.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's going to be that. I might be the guy who you meet and you never have to do none of the things you thought you would have to do for. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You never judge the book by its cover. So
right.
it's like, I just, you know what I'm saying?
It's a statement for the whole culture, man, for the whole disabled culture, you know what I'm saying? Like, even the word disabled
right.
is kind of outdated, you know what I'm saying? Because we ain't really, we able, you know, we really is running things out here because, you know, a lot of guys in chairs is like cornerstones for the community, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
from Akron to Columbus, and you're bringing that feeling, that vibe to them. How they responding down there?
Man, let me tell you something. The vibe, look, I always tell people, I'm trying to have it like I had it in Akron. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm from Honda. I'm from Akron. Hometown, born and raised. Of course, I know everybody. It's mm-hmm. almost a celebrity status up there.
Right.
I'm trying to
right.
take that status everywhere I go. You know what I'm saying? And it's,
yeah.
And that's another thing that gets us a knock to our buildings. I know guys in the day that don't fucking got money and all that stuff that can't take their status from where they at to another yeah. area and be that same yep. person.
Right.
They can't do it, so they don't leave.
Nice.
And then here we are, we take our shit yeah. on the road, man, and still just, you know, be that same, you know,
be you.
Positive person.
Yeah. Right. That's crazy, man. That's a blessing in itself, you know. It's like, you know, you're in control of what's going on, a destiny for sure, man. So what advice would you have to individuals that, you know, are trying to pursue their dreams, or people that have, you know, done something in their life and then they had a switch, or they're looking to switch it, you know, what advice would you give to them?
You know what, I just, you kind of got to look at life right now as far as the goals we set, you know what I'm saying? Everybody want to be famous. Everybody want to be in that spotlight, you know, and there's different ways to get there because there's different talent out here, you know what I'm saying? And you just basically got to find what's comfortable for you and really feel like you can achieve. You know, sometimes you set a goal a little too high, like, you know, trying to be an astronaut or trying to play, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. It's like it's too late to do certain things. You know, we got older in life, and that's the one thing I like about comedy is the rap had a window, man, and it's like, you know, they want
yeah.
to be a certain age and look a certain way, and it's too judgmental in the music, you know,
yeah.
and I hated it. Everybody was a critic, and everybody had to, you know, no one wanted you to get to the next level. It's always this.
Right.
Everybody has the image of who they wanted their artist to be, so it's already prejudgmental. When you talk to people, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You're talking to somebody who want a Tupac, and I'm not a Tupac, you know? It's like, but you want
right.
my music. That's nice. So
right.
it's like, throw that out the window. When you're a comedian, man, listen, fat, big, skinny, handicapped, old, young, it's no window. It's whatever. It's like, you know, it's like college, man. It's always going to be there.
Man, that's
crazy. That's a good thing for me. It's no pressure.
So, where can
comfortable situation?
Yeah, that's amazing. That idea, you know, when people are even like young kids listening, you know, people that maybe younger of age and haven't went through what we had to go through, you know, they can take that and try to prepare their lives for things that are going to work for them rather than doing stuff that just is basically not a good idea. You know, I wouldn't say music industry is a bad idea, but it's a different. There's plenty of different ways to get involved.
I'm definitely not saying it's a bad idea.
Right.
I'm just saying it's like jumping on the expressway at rush hour. And
right. You gotta be able to handle that.
Listen, at rush hour, at semi just flipped over and it's traffic back. Come on, man. It's just too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. But it's a beautiful thing because what would we do without music, man? What would we do without
yeah,
music?
You know.
But you look at the
we
percentage
still
of
do
people.
It.
You look at the percentage of people who try and the percentage of people who made it, and it's almost discouraging. But like I say,
mm-hmm.
you know, God is good, you know, and things happen. And if you take that in
right.
consideration, then you know you can do whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? So like
even though you say you haven't pursued like a technical solo career lately. And you're doing the comedian thing, you still have seen to find a way to incorporate the two worlds. So when you come on stage, you told me earlier that you like to get on stage and perform a little bit before you get to talking and telling the routine of making people laugh. You know, so tell me, give me a little example.
I've been able to think and incorporate the two worlds on some Jamie Foxx type, you know, but it's just it's rapping. And like for example, one of the hooks like this when I get on stage, for example, I say like, I can't walk for run stuffing at home, and I don't got an iron in the back of my clothes. You know, that. And it's
I
like, when
you,
I say
man.
That, and when
they
I say
it.
That, they're laughing already immediately.
Right.
And I'm not
right.
even done with the song. And it's like, I say stuff like that in the chorus.
Yeah.
And then then it goes off with a little boom, like an explosion or something, you know. Then I'm
saying,
how y'all doing out here? You know, and it's like, oh my God, yeah, you got our attention.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny, man. I love to hear that.
Like, I got another one. I say, you can catch me at the club, two-stepping lit, or at the crib with some hoes, few happiness. I get a laughing and giggling on some silly shit. You motherfuckers don't know who you, excuse my cousin, but it's more of lies than like that. You know, it's real lies, man. It's real lies, though. And, I say stuff like, you catch me at the club on the hoes, drunk as heck, running over people's toes. You know, just simple stuff like that, man.
Right, that's the truth, though. I think it would be happening,
over
though.
People told. It happens, man. When I get on stage, I apologize to everybody out there that have run y'all toe over at the club. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not my fault.
Right,
I told
right,
him I need my wheelchair fixed because my wheelchair pulled to the right. I told him I need a wheel alignment.
I ain't stupid, man. But it's the truth, though, man. They don't know about that lifestyle, you know what I'm saying?
I said I need a wheel alignment because my wheelchair pulled to the right.
They already know, man. They already know. That's lovely, man. I can't believe you're doing
like that,
it, man.
Like comedy.
I can't believe you're doing it, for real. I mean, I've met two people in my life that went from in the music industry to doing comedy, and I know she's still doing well herself. So for me to see you do it, somebody I actually know, that's just like a beautiful motivational story that I could just use 24/7. I'm like, my dude up there, I mean, he didn't been there and done that and switched it up, took it to a whole different industry, and just is flourishing in it, you know what I'm saying? Because you're killing Ohio right now, so it's cool, man. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, man. So, try and try again, and if you don't prevail with one thing, switch it up and try another thing, and just have confidence in what you're trying, you know, what you're doing, have confidence in it, and go all the way hard with it, and you will get some kind of outcome. If not, you at least meet some good, cool people down the road.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth. Networking is a beast.
It's not your
beast. That's the whole idea. So where can they find you at on the internet? Where would they go? Like, so you, if you got a YouTube page
right
or
now,
Twitter
man,
page?
Right now, I'm just building. So you can catch me on YouTube under Comedian D-Nut. I got like about 3 small snippet shows for me doing on stage. And it's enough to give you
an idea of
what I'm doing. Exactly, right? It's a good example to give you an idea. So, yeah, you can catch me on YouTube right now. I'm still recording. I'm still doing stuff. So, I'm still building. So, as long as they got YouTube and stuff like that.
I want to do a couple of them comedy songs, man, with you. I want to produce a couple of those. You can come and just,
I need
you know,
to, man. I'll be home Wednesday, man. And I'm going to try to get in touch with you like Thursday. Yeah, I'm going to try to get in touch with you like Thursday morning.
Okay. Okay.
See how the transportation situation go. Getting back to
you. Yeah, I'll see you.
Try to get in touch with you Thursday, man, and come on over there and bless you with
something.
Yeah,
because I'll slow you down. I got the mic ready. You used to come through and bless me. I ain't going to lie. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you or anyone else you know would like to have their poetry, music featured on the Pro Flow for Show Show, hosted by Mr. Mad Max, check us out, www.maxseat.com. Don't be left out. Don't be the last to know. Spread the word. It's Pro Flow Radio.